a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Mm, it's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
In this week's edition of Five Favorites, we're going to talk about five shrubs that will help screen you from pesky neighbors or those neighbors that might not have the most beautiful yard or just if you need some privacy. Shrubs are very useful because they can be far less expensive than a new fence, but the trade-off is they can take several years to fill in. And so I've chosen five shrubs that will fill in most of them more quickly, but will add beauty and usefulness to the yard. The first one is called Rose of Sharon, and this has been around for a long time. And we enjoy its summer flowers. It has those hibiscus flowers that you see starting in late July, and it blooms until early October. Flower colors are usually white, purple, pink, sometimes into the lavender range. And it reaches about 10 to 12 feet high and can grow about 10 feet wide over time. But it can be hedged in the spring because it flowers off new growth. And if you do give it a light haircut, you'll potentially get more flowers later on. It is very drought tolerant, so I'll define that as being something that requires watering once established every couple of weeks. So you'd want to water it about to a depth of 12 inches every 10 days to 2 weeks, and it's perfectly happy. Now the next one is called Golden Privet. And this one is another one that's been around for a long time, and it has its place in the landscape. It's easy to grow. It's very fast growing. For the first half of the summer, it has golden leaves that will fade to green. It tolerates a lot of Utah soils and is hardy along the Wasatch Front and into warmer areas of some of our mountain valleys, such as the Cache Valley on the East Bench and in downtown Logan. Golden Privet tolerates shearing very well. And in fact, to keep its color up, you want to make sure that you do give it a light haircut to make it prettier. Now, there are a lot of other substitutions for this one if you don't like that bold yellow color, but it does work and it does tolerate our soil quite well. Now, the next one is called Double File Viburnum. It has a little bit of a strange name. There's a couple of cultivars that are more commonly available in commerce. One is called Shasta and the other one called Marie's. And you'll commonly find Marie's Double File Viburnum, but don't be surprised if you do get the Shasta variety. Both of them are very pretty. Now, the advantage to this shrub is in the spring, it has really nice flowers. Now, it is a viburnum, and we're all used to the snowball bush, and kind of its look. But this one, even though it's closely related, has a flower spray that's more similar to what a hydrangea would look like, with those flat flowers. And then as it grows, it oftentimes obtains a look that would fit right into a Japanese garden. And so if you do run into this one and have room for it, even if you don't do an entire hedge, I would plant one in the yard because they're just so pretty and they are very less common. Now, if you prune this one, you can't just give it a haircut anytime you want to. Once those flowers are spent, you can go ahead and prune it, but the best technique to use is called renewal pruning. And that's where once the shrubs are 4 years old, you go in toward as close to the base as you can reach and take out about 20% of the branches. And you always take the biggest branches out when you do that. The next shrub is a kind of an oldie, but another one that has its place in the landscape. And it's commonly used on college campuses and industrial parks just because of its durability. And so during the summer, it's not going to win any beauty contest, but it is a very dense shrub. And it's called Peking Cotone Aster, like the city in China, Peking. So this one has a redfall color and it tolerates hedging quite well. But it's one that if you need something to fill in that you might have to do just a little bit of maintenance now and again, but it's a really low maintenance shrub that tolerates Utah soils, this is one that will work. And it's also perfectly hardy in our mountain valleys. It'll eventually reach about 10 to 12 feet tall, untrimmed, but you can keep it down a little lower by using renewal pruning and limited shearing to keep it dense and just in check. But if you want to let it go, you can. Now, the final one I'm going to list is Arctic Willow. This one is one I hesitate a little bit just because it grows fast and it gets big. So 15 feet can be really common. I'd actually recommend getting what's called dwarf blue Arctic willow because this one only gets about 8 to 9 feet, which seems tall, but it is much smaller than the species itself. Arctic willow has a blue leaf, which is very pretty, but it grows very quickly in wet soil. So if you have areas of the yard where your irrigation water and the neighbor's irrigation water both flows to near a fence line or something, this is one that's extremely useful because it just tolerates that wet soil. Now, if you want something that you can keep in check a little bit better that may not get quite as tall, there are varieties of red osier dogwood, something like Isanti or variegated or ivory halo, that will get between about 5 and 8 feet tall, depending if they're trimmed or not, that also tolerate wet soil. So either of those would work in wet situations. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Five Favorites. I'm with Justin Weicker, senior gardener at the Provo City Center Temple, who also pitches in at other temples occasionally in their grounds and gardening. And I wanted to have a conversation about how the Provo City Center Temple and other temples establish their annuals and keep them looking so beautiful. How are you, Justin?
I'm doing all right.
Great. And I understand you've been really busy actually planting annuals the last few weeks.
Yes, we have. It's that time of year. The bulbs are done, so it's time for them to come out and put in all the pretty summer flowers.
So when the bulbs are out and you're putting in the summer flowers, what are some of the varieties that you like to turn to or some of the species?
Normally we do petunias and snapdragons. We do a lot of zinnias. And this year we went with some gazanias. I kind of like those. Those can be really cool, and they pop really well. They love the heat. And we've got some geraniums. Geraniums are always a good standby.
And so of these, you choose them not only because they're beautiful, but they're easy to take care of?
Yes, they are very easy.
You had some special techniques that you used to make sure that they could get established.
Or we try to make sure that there's good root ball to soil contact. So we do that putting the annual plant in the hole that we dug and then not really mashing the soil down around it, but just packing it in firmly enough that the plant stays in place. And then after the bed is planted, we'll run the water from a sprinkler system. We run it for a few minutes just to let the water settle everything down in around it, and that way we make sure there's enough pore space so the roots get adequate oxygen and the soil is equally wet around the flowers so that the roots get really good contact and they can start to spread out.
So what happens if the soil is pressed down too firmly?
The water may not infiltrate down properly, so you can have the top half inch of the soil soaking wet. Everything beneath that is bone dry, so the roots have no water and the plant will wilt, or no pore space for air, and so you start to get root rot and stem rot issues, and the plant just doesn't do as well. It can also be just like leaving the plant in the pot in the ground. Basically, the roots will go out as far as that compacted wall and just start circling around that, so they never really spread out.
So after you have got these planted, you mentioned that you change up your irrigation a little bit the first week.
Yeah, we do. The first couple of times we'll actually run it twice a day. One time is just a manual start. We'll run it for a few minutes. And during that time, we'll check the heads, make sure there's good coverage and all of that. And then at night, it'll run according to schedule. Sometime it'll run for 10 or 15 minutes just during the night. And then a couple days later, we stop with the manual start and just let the clock take over. And then after maybe a week, then we let it back off on the water and run according to plant needs.
What would be your recommendations as far as watering annuals?
Once they are settled in after that first week, just watch them because there are plants that have higher watering needs than other plants, and you can use those as your indicators. As soon as they start to even look just a little tiny bit droopy, that's when you want to water.
So once you've got your irrigation figured out, then the other thing that people want to do is fertilize, but there's lots of questions about how annuals, especially in the ground, should be fertilized. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
The thing with fertilizer is right at the very start, the plants don't need a lot of nitrogen. And so personally, I like to wait maybe a week or two before I give them a half of what the package recommends, and it's always slow release. And the reason for the low dose of nitrogen is because the the plants really don't need a lot of top growth right at the very beginning because they're trying to get the root systems established, and they don't need the green growth outpacing the root. And then after that, 2 or 3, maybe even 4 weeks after that, I'll apply the other half. And then depending on the slow-release fertilizer you use, it'll say it's good for like 3 months or 4 months or something like that. When you reach the end of the useful dose, whatever the product says it's good for, then you apply a full dose after that.
And are you using like an Osmocote type product, or are you just using like a slow release lawn fertilizer?
No, we're using an Osmocote. It's a balanced fertilizer that is released by moisture.
And so do you think a homeowner could get away with a solar release lawn fertilizer on their annuals, or would that nitrogen still release too quickly?
No, that nitrogen releases at roughly the same rate. As long as, you know, the number's not really high, you don't want to be using a 40, you know, a 40-0-0 fertilizer that's 40% slow release. You want to keep it down around 10 or 15 on that first number. And then if you've got like a 16-16-8, got some slow release in it, that'll work just fine.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you had mentioned earlier some plants that you like to use because of their, for lack of a better term, flower power and just how easy they are to take care of. Some of them included like geranium. Why geraniums?
Geraniums, if they get what they need, normally don't disappoint. If they get the appropriate amount of water, and since they are a little bit heavier feeders, you know, if they get the nutrients they need, then they have color all the time, and they don't really require much in the way of deadheading. So if you can't get to cutting those spent blooms off, they'll just keep right on going.
Then you also mentioned marigolds and petunias, and to me, these are kind of not tired plants, but they've been used for a long time, but I think used well look nice. And so what particular aspects about them do you like?
So the petunias, you kind of have to watch the stores a little bit because there's always new varieties being released, and some of them are rather fascinating. I will always try and get the ones that are not the normal pink and red and striped, just because I'm looking for that wow factor, or just trying to get them out and get people to notice them again. The thing I really like about petunias is they'll handle the heat, and they require very little maintenance, just an occasional trim every once in a while to keep them in line. There is a variety called the Wave, which does really good in planters, raised beds, or, you know, flower pots. They fill out the pot and they will run over the sides and can really put on quite a show.
Excellent. And then the marigolds.
Marigolds have been around for a while, but even then, occasionally there are a couple that come along. Like there have been a couple of white ones released that can put on a show equivalent to the old familiar yellow and orange ones that are, you know, the 2 or 3 foot tall high, and those can be really fun to use.
What with the snapdragons do you like?
The snapdragons actually are really not my personal favorite, but they do have their place. If you buy a short one, it's going to stay short. It's not going to overgrow at all. If you buy a tall one, it's going to get that push of growth, and then it'll flower. And if you don't really mind, they reseed themselves quite profusely. The color is pretty long-lasting, and the bees really like them. If you're trying to go with a specific color theme and need something that's going to bloom really well in the heat and you know, be up there where people can see it, the snapdragon might be the way to go.
So the last one that surprised me a little bit, and it's been picking up steam in popularity, is gazania.
Oh, they will handle all kinds of abuse. They don't get really tall. They're kind of a low growing. Yeah, they stay low to the ground. They grow in a clump, and they have this great big flower actually multiple flowers all at once. It's about 3 inches across. But the color combinations that they have, like we just planted one that has a yellow petal with a brown stripe on the petal that runs the length of the petal. The colors can be really, really vibrant and bright. And for a low-lying area, they can jump out and say, here I am, and just really attract some attention. They do like the heat, too. Those are one flower that will put petunias and geraniums to shame as far as their heat tolerance.
Justin, thank you for your time. And you're a frequent guest on the podcast and the Greenhouse Show. And we appreciate your knowledge and being willing to share the information with others.
I enjoy sharing the information, and I enjoy sharing my time with you and other people too.
Well, thank you.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.